Well, let me remind you again that what we're going to be doing this evening is looking at this great theme of friendship, particularly from the book of Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs, if you've been coming recently as we've been going through it, is a wonderful book because it speaks directly into our own experiences. It gives us these tiny little verses, these little bite-sized chunks of wisdom that we can use to help us to understand better how to get the most out of life. And really, that's what all of us want, isn't it? We want to get the most out of life. And one of the things that every one of us needs, and there's right around the planet, there's nobody who's an exception to this rule. One of the things that every one of us needs are friends. I'm sure at different times we've all been in situations where we felt alone. We've been lonely. Maybe it's that situation at the beginning of a game of football when somebody's picking the teams and you're the last one left. And maybe nobody wants to be on your team and you feel, well, nobody likes me and nobody's really my friend. Maybe that situation where everyone else seems to be enjoying themselves and chatting and you're the one who's left out and on your own. And however young or old you are, it's not nice to be left out like that, is it? It's not nice to be left alone. It's not nice to feel as though you have no friends. Or maybe you've been in a situation where there was somebody who you really felt was a friend. And maybe they've been a friend for many months or even years. And then somehow something's changed. They've said something, done something. And all of a sudden you feel that person is not really my friend. Maybe they've never really been my friend. And you feel betrayed. And you feel angry. You see, friends are so important. And the Bible is quite clear about this in the book of Proverbs. We saw all those references we were going through, how much the book of Proverbs had to say about friends. And it's my job this evening to take all of these different threads from the book of Proverbs, and there's all kinds of threads all woven in together, all a bit jumbled up and mixed up, and it's my job this evening to try and untangle those threads for you and to try and help us better to understand what friendship is all about. So what we're going to do this evening is to look at five different things from the book of Proverbs all about friends. We're going to remind ourselves first of all of the importance of good friends. Then we're going to ask a really practical question. Well, how do you get good friends? Then we're looking at how you can lose friends. The book of Proverbs tells us about that as well, so we can avoid doing what's foolish. And it tells us also about the danger of false friends. That's the fourth thing, because sometimes our friends aren't true friends. And then the final thing we're going to look at is, what does a good friend give? So those are five things that we're going to be doing this evening. So first of all, let's then look at the importance of good friends. And rather than just hearing my voice, let's see what the Bible itself has to say about the importance of good friends. Look at Proverbs 17 and verse 17, first of all. The importance of good friends. Proverbs 17, it's page 574, if you've lost it. Proverbs 17 and verse 17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. So here's what the writer of Proverbs is doing. It's comparing and contrasting a real friend, a true friend, and a brother. Now, I don't have a brother. I have a sister, but I don't have a brother. And yesterday, it was my sister's 40th birthday. So we went along to had this big party in Cardiff, where my sister lives, and lots of family and friends got together for the party. Now, I've got to be careful, because this is being recorded and will be put on the website. But I will risk saying this, that when you have a big get-together of all your family, sometimes you think, well, I wouldn't have chosen these people. They're your family, and you stick together because they're your family. And if people are ever in trouble, we'll certainly help each other out. But we wouldn't necessarily have chosen one another. Very often we don't even have the same things in common. We're quite different from one another. And it's nice to get together for birthday parties and so on, but it was also nice to leave at the end and to come home. You see, family can be like that, can't it? We get on, we help one another, particularly if people are in trouble, we'll help them out. But very often we don't choose to be with our families all of the time. And that's what the writer of Proverbs is saying in verse 17. A brother is born for adversity. When your family really are at their best is when you need help. Adversity, times of trouble. But a friend, the writer says, isn't like that. A friend loves at all times. So with your friends, you want to always be with your friends. You want to stick with them. You want to stay with them. And that's a difference between a friend and a member of your family. Now, this isn't true. Maybe some of you have got wonderful family members that you'd love to be with all of the time. I know that's true for some. But generally speaking, that's one of the differences between family and friends. You choose your friends, but you have to put up with your family. So if we look at Proverbs 27 and verse 10, we'll see this a little bit more clearly as well. Especially at the end of chapter 27, verse 10. Do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend, nor go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. And here's the point. Better is a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. So again, this is one of the things that is true of a friend, that they're close by. And if you need help, they should be able to help you straight away because they're close and they're nearby. That's what friends very much often are. Now, obviously, sometimes friends move away and they still stay your friends. But there's something about someone who is nearby. And if you need a shoulder to cry on, if you need somebody to care for you, then you don't have to do it over the phone. You don't have to drive a great long distance. But you can simply perhaps send them a text. Can you pop around? I need your friendship. And you immediately there, you've got someone on your doorstep who's willing to help you. How important it is to have good friends. And if I can put it like this, one of the things that Proverbs is teaching us then is saying that family's not enough. Family's not enough. Now, family relationships are wonderful, and to have the support of brothers and sisters and of parents and children is a wonderful thing. But it's not enough. We need something more than that. And friends can offer something different to what we get from our family. And it's so important to be able to have friends that we can call on. Now, there's another reason why friends are so important as well. And we find this in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 26, page 569 now. Proverbs 12, verse 26. Here's another reason why friends are so important. The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. I would guess that every person here this evening has been in a situation where you've been in trouble, and after you've been in trouble, and maybe you've been caught out, you've thought to yourself, it wasn't me, it was my friend. And somehow your friend has maybe egged you on, or your friend has influenced you in a wrong way or a bad way, and you've ended up getting into trouble because of your friend. And that happens to all of us, I'm sure, at different times. And that's why the writer of Proverbs says, the righteous person, the person who wants to do what is right, should choose his friends carefully. You see, if I end up choosing the wrong friends, then I might end up enjoying the wrong things and doing the wrong things and getting into all kinds of trouble. Maybe trouble straight away. Maybe trouble that might not show itself for months or years to come. But having the right friends is absolutely crucial. Because friends who will do what's right and what's good and will set a good example rather than a bad example is absolutely critical. And if I can say one thing about choosing friends, it would be this from Proverbs 12:26. Choose your friends carefully. Choose friends who are good for you. That's the crucial thing, isn't it? Choose friends who lead you into good things and not those who lead you into things that you know are wrong. And if you ever get a friend who is somebody who encourages you to do something that goes against your conscience, goes against what you know to be right, then that friend almost certainly is not a true friend, not a real friend at all. A true friend wouldn't do that. A true friend wouldn't encourage you to do what you know to be wrong. And if you've got friends like that, then maybe you need to say goodbye to those friends and find some new friends, some friends who will help you and support you and encourage you and honor you and bless you. For the way of the wicked leads them astray. So friendships are vitally important. They're vitally important because we need more than just family. And they're vitally important because good friends will help us to live good lives and right lives. So that's the first thing. But here's the second question, which is a vital question. Well, how then do you get good friends? It's all very well saying it's important to have good friends, but all of us know it's actually quite difficult to find good friends, isn't it? And maybe we've been in situations, all of us, where we've struggled to find people who can truly be a friend. So what does the Bible have to say about that? Well, let's go to Proverbs 22 and verse 11, first of all, page 578. Proverbs 22:11. All right, now if you want a really good friend, this is the verse that's going to help, all right? This is not going to get you an average friend. This is going to get you a really good friend, according to the text. Proverbs 22:11. He who loves purity of heart and has grace on his lips, the king will be his friend. All right? Well, that's the kind of height of friends, isn't it? If you really want a friend, to have a king as a friend, then whatever you needed, whatever was a trouble for you, the king would be able to help you out. He'd be able to be a real friend. So if you want the very best friend, that's what the writer of Proverbs is trying to say. If you want the very best friend, how do you get the very best friends? Well, you need to have a pure heart, and you need to say kind and good and true things. You need to have grace on your lips. Well, in some ways, that's fairly obvious, isn't it? It's something we often forget. But if we want a really good friend, a friend who thinks of others before themselves, a friend who's not selfish, a friend who's not going to get us into trouble, a friend who's not going to lead us astray, a friend who's not just going to lead us on to get what they can out of our relationship, but someone who's going to be a true friend and help us no matter what our need, no matter how much trouble we're in, no matter how difficult things are, a friend who'll really stick with us. If we want a friend like that, well, it's no good us being a miserable friend to them, is it? But somebody like that, somebody who's really going to care for us and help us and be with us always, is going to be someone who's going to look for that in their friends, aren't they? So we need to be to them the sort of friend that we want them to be to us. Does that make sense? If we want a truly great friend, we need to be the sort of friend to them that we want them to be to us. So do you want a friend who's kind? Well, be kind to them. Do you want a friend who's honest? Well, be honest to them. Do you want a friend who's good? Well, be good to them. Do you want a friend who's loyal? Well, be loyal to them. And the people that value goodness and loyalty will be the right sort of friends for you and I to have. So it's very simple here, isn't it, in the Bible. It's very clear. We need to be a good friend to others, and as we're a good friend to others, they, in turn, will be good friends to us, if they're the right sort of friends. But there's another verse here that helps us in how we get good friends, and it's Proverbs 18 and verse 24. It's a verse that's translated a little differently in some versions of the Bible, but here in the New King James, and it's very similar in the Old King James as well, Proverbs 18:24 is translated like this: a man who has friends must himself be friendly. Well, again, that's really obvious, isn't it? Really clear to all of us. If we want to have friends, then we need to be friendly towards others. And very often, actually, that's the mistake that we make, isn't it? That maybe we complain sometimes and we feel our lack of friends, but we're not willing to be friends to others. So maybe we've been in a situation where we've been in need. Maybe there's been some kind of trouble or difficulty, and we've really thought, I really need a friend now. Well, who are the friends that are going to come to us? Well, if previously when other people have been in difficulty and struggle, we've been a friend to them, and we've gone and helped them and cared for them and given them what they need, well, there's a very high likelihood that when we're in need, they then will come to us, isn't it? So rather than just complain that we don't have friends with other people, sometimes we can be like that, can't we? We can perhaps feel a little lonely and a little bit isolated. rather than think to ourselves, oh, isn't it terrible that I really don't have very many friends? Rather than be like that, what the book of Proverbs would have us do instead of that is the book of Proverbs would encourage us to go and be friendly towards other people. And maybe in doing so, we can find great friends who can help us in our times of need. So if you're someone this evening who struggles maybe and you feel your lack of friends, that you don't have many friends, well, maybe that's something that can encourage you and help you. Why don't you think of folk who themselves need friends? And why don't you be a friend to them so that in that way everyone can be helped? How do you get good friends? Well, you get good friends by being kind and treating them well, and you get good friends simply by being friendly to others. But the book of Proverbs also warns us about losing friends. It's possible to lose friends as well, the book of Proverbs tells us. And in chapter 17 and verse 9, it gives us an example of how we can lose friends. He who covers a transgression seeks love, but here's the important bit. He who repeats a matter separates friends. He who repeats a matter separates friends. What's the book of Proverbs saying? Well, it's saying this. It's saying two things, really. Firstly, it's telling us, look, if we go and gossip about what our friends have told us, that's a very quick way to lose friends, isn't it? Has that ever happened to you? Maybe you've spoken to somebody in confidence, and you've sought their help and guidance, you've unburdened your heart with them, you've spoken to them, and a few days or weeks later, you found out that all kinds of other people know about what you told your friend. They've betrayed you. Well, that person is going to find it very difficult to be your friend in the future, isn't it? Because you can't trust them any longer. They've repeated what you've said to other people. And if you repeat this matter, Proverbs 17 verse 9 says, that's going to separate friends. So part of friendship and keeping friends means keeping confidences, trust, being able to trust one another, not going off and telling other people things that have gone on in private. That's part of what Proverbs 17 verse 9 is talking about. But I think it's also talking about the problem that maybe many of us face. That we have friends, and as we have friends, maybe sometimes we rub our friends up the wrong way. That certainly happens, doesn't it, to all of us. That none of us are perfect, and we'll annoy our friends, and our friends will annoy us. That obviously happens at times. Now the problem is, if we keep repeating the same mistakes, and the same mistakes, and the same mistakes, and the same mistakes again and again and again and again and again, even the most patient friend is going to run out of patience. And if we keep on repeating and repeating and repeating and repeating our errors and our faults, then maybe that's going to push our friends away. So we can lose friends for that reason as well. We can lose friends by repeating things that we ought not repeat and keeping on not learning the lessons that they can teach us. Because you see, that's one of the great things about friends, that they're able to point out our faults and our failings. And they're able to do it, hopefully, in a way that we can listen to. So if our friend might say, well, you know, you do that really annoying thing and you keep on fiddling with your hair, or you keep on biting your nails, or you keep on doing this, or say, we might not have even noticed. But a friend is able to point that out. Or they might say to us, more importantly, you know what, you keep losing your temper. And it's not you just do it once or twice, but you really do it all the time, and you really need to be more patient. Friends can point those things out to us. That's a wonderful thing to do if it's done gently and lovingly. But if we fail to take that into consideration, if we fail to take notice of that and just keep on repeating those same errors and those same faults, our friends are going to think, well, what's the point in trying to help this person? Because they just don't listen. That's part of what Proverbs is talking about. But it also tells us another way of losing friends. And maybe this is the other kind of side of the coin. This is Proverbs 27 and verse 14. Proverbs 27 is a great chapter of the Bible in terms of helping us to understand friendship and also other human relationships. Page 583, Proverbs 27:14. He who blesses his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it will be counted as a curse to him. So here's what the writer of Proverbs has got in mind. That here we are, maybe at 6 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. It's really early in the morning, whatever early is for you. And there you are, kind of snoozing nicely in bed and enjoying a good night's sleep. And suddenly your friend bursts in through the door and with a really cheerful expression says, "Welcome to the morning! What a wonderful day it is!" And if you're anything like me, you'll put your head under the cover and go away! Leave me alone! It's too early for that. And that's what the book of Proverbs is saying. But here's this person bursting in first thing in the morning. Now, what's the problem here? What has this friend done that's wrong? Well, it's quite obvious, isn't it? They haven't thought of us. Here we are in bed. And for us, it's not a bright, beautiful morning just yet. Maybe it will be in a few hours' time. But at the moment, it's still a nice night's sleep, thank you very much. And they're not really thinking of us. And what we don't need a big cheery greeting at that time of the morning. We need a bit of peace and quiet and a nice sleep, thank you very much. And you see, some friends can be like that. Some friends can always assume that what we want is exactly the same as what they want. And how we feel is exactly the same as how they feel. And of course, we can do that to our friends too, can't we? We can assume that because we're in a good mood, then we ought to do something together that's happy and jolly. But actually, maybe your friend is struggling. And maybe your friend doesn't need that. Maybe your friend needs a quiet chat or just to enjoy being quiet together. We need different things, don't we? And if we assume that our friends should enjoy exactly the same things that we enjoy, we'll very quickly lose our friends. You see, we're attracted to people, we're attracted to friends because they have some things in common with us, don't they? But we also need to understand that good friends are often very different from us as well. And we mustn't assume that they were always the same as us. So we've looked at the importance of friendship. We've looked at how you get good friends. We looked at how you lose friends. Now the Bible teaches us about the danger of false friends. And I'm sure, again, this is something that all of us have experienced. The experience of false friends. Let me go to chapter 14 and verse 20, page 571. The poor man is hated even by his own neighbor, but the rich has many friends. The rich has many friends. And chapter 19 and verse 4 says something very similar. Wealth makes many friends. And verse 6 of chapter 19, many entreat the favor of the nobility, and every man is a friend to one who gives good gifts. Now here's what the writer of Proverbs is saying. And we looked at this, it wasn't that long ago, was it? What, 3-4 weeks ago, something like that, as we were looking at the parable of the prodigal son. Do you remember? Some of you were here, and Paul had the screen up in the corner, and we looked at the man who'd gone away, and he'd taken half of his father's wealth with him, and he was spending his money left, right, and center on parties and on all these kind of things, and he had loads of friends because he was giving money away. And as soon as his money ran out, he lost all his friends. And, of course, those people were never true friends, were they? They were false friends. And that's very possible for us as well. That, you see, if we're somebody who is giving, and that's what we've talked about, isn't it, already with friendship, that a friend is somebody who's kind, a friend who's someone who gives, in other words, to the other person, is a true friend to them. If we're people who just keep giving and giving and giving and giving, then there is a real danger in which we will end up having false friends. That is, people who don't really care about us, but people who only care about what they can get from us. And the Bible wants us to warn us about people like that. And it wants to warn us that those people are not really our friends. Now, what is it that we might be given? Well, it could be all kinds of different things. It might be that we've got, an Xbox 360 and our friend hasn't, and because they can play on our Xbox, then they're our friend. It might be money, as it was with a prodigal son. It might just simply be kindness. That if we're willing to show kindness, that's what somebody wants, and they'll take it and take it and take it and take it, but never really be our friend. And the Bible warns us about such people. They're false friends. So it's right to give in friendship. We must give in friendship, but a true friendship is always something that's reciprocal. That means we both give and we receive. And if in our friendships all we're doing is giving, and the other person is not giving to us, then that may well mean that that person is not a true friend. A true friend is somebody who gives as well as receives. So beware of false friends. So that's what false friends do. They tend to take all the time. But now we're into the final section. Well, what is it that a good friend gives? If a good friend is someone who gives and not just takes, what is it that a good friend gives? Well, the answer might be surprising, perhaps, given some of the things that we've looked at already. But let's look at chapter 27 and verse 6. What is it a good friend gives? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Isn't that surprising? A good friend gives wounds. In other words, a good friend hurts us. Isn't that a surprise? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. What is Proverbs telling us here? Well, it's telling us two things. It's telling us, firstly, that sometimes friends will hurt us. And that's all of our experiences, isn't it? But because they're our friend, because they're usually good to us, then we will somehow, we will understand, won't we, that in their imperfections, that it is hurtful and wounding. I remember many years ago we used to have a dog, and whenever we used to go on a journey, the dog would jump into the boot of the car. And I remember as a teenager, the dog jumped into the boot of the car, and I slammed the boot shut without realizing the dog's tail was still sticking out of the boot. And it must have hurt, let's just put it like that. And the dog, as you can understand, yelped. There was blood coming out of his tail and all sorts. But here's the thing. Immediately, he came to me for comfort. Now, they do say that a dog is a man's best friend, don't they? I'm not sure that's true. It's not in the Bible. But there was something very telling there, that somehow my dog knew that even though I'd hurt him, I didn't want to hurt him, and I didn't do it intentionally. And he was able somehow to let me know of that and to come to me for comfort. Now, you will be hurt by your friends, and sometimes you'll be hurt more by your friends than you will even by your enemies, won't you? Because it does hurt more. But a true friend, you see, is faithful. And when they hurt, very often we will understand that, and we will understand their faithfulness. But you see, this verse is not just telling us about things that are done accidentally. Sometimes we need to hurt our friends, don't we? And sometimes our friends need to hurt us. Because our friends need to say to us things that are maybe difficult to hear. And you see, if we're not able to learn from our friends and to listen to our friends and to be corrected by our friends, then we won't get very far in life at all. But sometimes we do need friends to come alongside and to say to us, look, you really didn't handle that very well. They need to say to us sometimes, look, you were wrong in what you said or did on that occasion. And a good friend will do that. And it will hurt. And it will hurt perhaps more because it comes from a friend. But it'll be a wound that's been faithfully inflicted, if I can put it like that. Still on the same page, Proverbs 27 verse 17 gives us another way in which a good friend helps us. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. So this idea of iron sharpening iron is, some of you are old enough to remember this, some of you are not, but when knives got blunt in the days that the Bible was written, and not that long ago here as well, you wouldn't throw the knife away as maybe you would now, but you'd sharpen the knife. And very often you'd sharpen it with iron itself, and by doing so you'd sharpen the blade. And that's what this proverb is talking about here. That two friends can sharpen one another, and it might seem quite violent. You get two knives or a piece of iron and an iron knife, and you scrape them like that. It makes these horrible noises, and the sparks fly off, and it sounds pretty bad. But actually, that's iron sharpening iron. And sometimes that's exactly what happens with our friends. Sometimes we need to give something that's not just nice and cozy and warm and woolly, but something that sharpens. But it's vital that we do that as friends. But in all this, there's something even more important hidden away in the middle of the book of Proverbs in chapter 18 and verse 24. It's a verse that we've looked at already. And we're talking about what is it that a good friend gives. And here's maybe the most important thing of all. A man who has friends must himself be friendly. We've looked at that. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Now, we've talked already about how vital it is that we have good friends. And probably all of us, whoever we are, would think to ourselves, as seen it, it would be great to have more friends. It would be great to have better friends. And that's not saying anything against the friends that we already have, but we know our need of friends, don't we? But then maybe when we were looking at how to get good friends, maybe we realized, well, actually, getting good friends is not straightforward. It's not easy. Because to get good friends, we need to be good friends. And many of us will find it difficult to be good friends, difficult to give to people, difficult to be kind, difficult to be merciful, difficult to hold our tongue when we ought to, difficult to be patient, difficult to give. We want other people to do those things to us. But how hard we find it to do that to other people. How hard it is to get good friends. And then we find ourselves making all kinds of mistakes and errors and doing things that are wrong and being nasty to people and losing our temper and being selfish. And as a consequence of that, maybe we lose good friends. And even if we've managed not to do that too much, maybe other folk have done that to us and we've lost good friends through that means as well. It's so hard to get good friends, it's so easy to lose friends. And then there's the danger of false friends, that sometimes people just want to be with us for what they can get from us. And we really desperately need good friends. And we're told here in Proverbs 18:24, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Now, it's not a coincidence here that Proverbs 18:24 says there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. It's almost as if, isn't it, that the writer of Proverbs has got somebody in mind. And you're almost waiting. You think the next verse is always going to give their name. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. There is a friend who will always be with you. There is a friend who will always help you. There is a friend who will always give to you. And you can go through the book of Proverbs and, well, who is this person? What's their name? And the book of Proverbs doesn't tell you the answer to that question. But we don't have to go very far in the Bible because we can go to the Gospel of John and chapter 15 and we'll find out all about this friend who sticks closer than a brother. John chapter 15 and verse 13. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking and this is what he says. Greater love has no man than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. He sacrifices himself for his friends. We've sung already as we've sung hymns together today that Jesus Christ can be a great friend. And this is one of the amazing vital truths of the Bible. For anyone here this evening who thinks, well, I need a friend, let me say to you, there is no better friend, there is no greater friend than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Well, how do you know that Jesus Christ is a friend? Well, I can point you to all kinds of things. I can say to you that just like a good friend, he will care for you and love you through thick and thin. I can say to you that just like a good friend, he'll someone who won't hesitate to point out your faults when you need to hear of them. He'll be someone who will walk alongside you. He will be someone who picks you up when you're down. The Lord Jesus will do all of those things. But the most important aspect of Jesus' friendship of all is this one here in John 15 and verse 13 on page 956. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. And what does the very next verse say? John 15:14. You are my friends. You don't need to be a rocket scientist, do you, to work out what Jesus is saying here. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends. Do you see what Jesus is saying? He's saying to his disciples, who he's speaking to in this chapter, I will lay down my life for you. And that's how you'll know I love you. That's how you know I really am your friend. That's how you know I'm not just in it for myself to see what I can get out of it. You'll see that I'm not just someone who's a half-hearted friend who will stay for a while and then go when I get bored or when the going gets tough, but I'm with you always and forever because I lay down my life for my friends. But look carefully at verse 14. You are my friends if... You are my friends if. So Jesus is not saying that everybody on the planet is his friend, is he? You are my friends if. So what is it that we need to do if we're to have Jesus as our friend? Verse 14, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Well, here's the difficult thing. You see, Jesus in some ways is saying exactly what we've been saying from the book of Proverbs about friends. If you want to get a good friend, you've got to be a good friend. And if you want Jesus as your friend, what he's saying here is you need to do the things that Jesus wants you to do. That's what Jesus requires from his friends. But the problem is that you can't do that and I can't do that either. But look at verse 15. I have called you friends, for all things that you have heard from my Father I've made known to you. And verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Isn't that remarkable? Jesus chose his friends. They didn't choose him, but Jesus, he'd gone round and said, I choose you. You're to be my disciple. And come, follow me. He chose them. And you know, that's exactly what Jesus does even today. He chooses his friends. And as he chooses his friends, he gives them the Holy Spirit. He gives them forgiveness of sins. He gives them new life, which enables them then to fulfill the requirements of his friendship. We can't do it ourselves, but through his gracious gift, he gives it to us. And maybe at different times, some of us here have heard, as it were, not audibly, not through our ears, but in our minds, we've heard the Lord Jesus Christ speaking and almost saying to each one of us, I want to be your friend. Jesus Christ, we've sung it already, we've prayed about it. He is the friend of sinners. He's not the friend of perfect people. He's not the friend of those who think that they're righteous. He's the friend of sinners. And maybe you've heard, as it were, as maybe as someone's been speaking in a meeting like this, it's almost as if you've heard God say, Jesus Christ say, I want to be your friend. I want to forgive you. I want to help you. I want to walk with you. I want you to be with me forever in heaven. Will you trust me? Will you follow me? Will you go wherever I go? And if we can do that, and if God gives us the grace and the trust to do that, then we can know Jesus Christ as a friend, a better friend than anyone else we will ever know. Someone who will stick with us closer than a brother. Someone who lays down his life for his friends.